Liquor Saloons, A Curse, 1893. I meditate upon the condition of our world. I see educated men holding office in responsible positions, accepting of bribes, liquor sellers as well as liquor drinkers sharing the curse with the most depraved, drinking sot, for they receive their money. Money is their god, and they are driving those men who have the appetite for liquor as fast as possible into the arms of the devil, obtaining a license to make drunkards that liquor sellers may have more money. In the place of helping men weak in moral power to overcome appetite, they are giving them liquid poison to extinguish what little reason they still retain, and what little semblance of the image of God is not entirely obliterated. The temptation comes to men feeble in moral power, and if liquor were not seen displayed in the multitude of liquor saloons, the wanton waste of God-given talents would not be so abundant. Every point must be guarded. There is temptation in association with others who have been tempted and have been overcome by yielding. In every business, in the schools, seminaries, and colleges, the youth have been gradually led from safe into forbidden paths, seduced, made strengthless in their way downward, ever downward, into habits and practices causing shame and suffering to themselves and to others, their mothers, their fathers. Worst of all is that they deface the moral image of God. Step by step, the satanic agencies are actively leading. There are wine suppers, wine on the tables of those called the aristocracy, and temptations come from every quarter. The man who has once placed liquor to his lips has placed himself on Satan's ground, to be bound to his car, a slave to perverted appetite. He does not think seriously that he is the property of Jesus Christ. The redemption money was paid in the blood and life of the Son of God. There are depths to which intemperance leads men, such that Satan seems to have chained the power of the will. Through the mighty workings of the providence of God, they are susceptible to the help that alone can save them from eternal ruin. When no human arm or skill can save, when coming to the extremity of ruin, they can be saved if their eyes and hearts and souls are thoroughly aroused to run the race for life against death. They have a helping hand that is reached over the gulf to draw them back, and with the grace given of God, they can be victors. An entire change can take place. The character can be transformed. God designs that men should help one another, pity and sympathize with, and love one another, ever regarding themselves as a part of the great web of humanity. There is no caste with God. A rich man is not accounted of God of one jot or tittle more value for his riches, position, talent, or education. These do not weigh in the scale with God, unless all are brought as a tribute to lay at his feet, and the whole being surrendered to God to cooperate with the divine agencies to make him a vessel unto honor. Medical missionary work is being done in our sanitariums to save perishing souls. Let this work go forward firmly, solidly, wisely, to rescue the souls ready to perish. Let all have an interest in this work, and for Christ's sake, rescue the tempted ones.